is Albert Lin, a serial entrepreneur who loves using technology to make life better.
Today we have Molly McGowan. She works at the Buffalo Niagara Partnership, and she gets to work with lots of employers as well as lots of employees in economic development up in the Buffalo, New York, Niagara region. And she's also a successful author of a book called Own Your Personal Brand. Molly, welcome.
Hi, Albert. Thanks for having me today.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about a quick background of how you ended up working for the Buffalo Niagara Partnership and doing what you do.
Oh, sure. Well, my background started working with our local utility company. I was an IBEW employee for 17 years. And then I was in direct sales for 17 years, so I operated my own business as well as trained and mentored associate team members. And I was, you know, just sailing along, and the Buffalo Niagara Partnership reached out to me. They had an open position and thought I would be a good candidate for it. So I really was not looking for another position at that time, but it ended up being a great experience. And Buffalo is back on the map, so I actually have a front row seat to everything that's unfolding in our region at this time. So it's very exciting.
Well, what I like about that is that you, like many successful people, have been able to go on many different career paths and pivot and move and take advantage of basically now a much more dynamic market. And I think that's great. And I'm happy to see you're doing it in Buffalo. And I hope this winter hasn't been too bad for you.
We've had a great winter. And actually, Katie Couric just did a feature story on Buffalo coming back. She's doing a series on U.S. cities that are on the move. So we were excited to be featured in that, too.
So many great U.S. cities have been defined by their resilience, as shown by going from boom to bust and then back again. So part of it has to do with adopting new skills to meet a changing market. So in the job market, one of the latest tools that's available and becoming popular has to do with behavioral analysis. One of the things that I wanted to talk to you about is this idea of behavioral styles. And there's this analysis and framework that people have reduced down to a simple word called DISC, and that's spelled D-I-S-C. And it was commercialized and made popular actually quite a while ago by a Harvard psychologist named Dr. Marston. And it turns out you really like this tool. So can you tell us a little bit about what it exactly is? And then we can talk about how to use it to improve our personal and professional lives.
Oh, sure. DISC is the language of behavior. And the DISC assessment measures four things. D measures how you respond to problems and challenges. I, how you influence people. S is how you respond to pace of the environment. And C is how you respond to how compliant you are, how you respond to rules and procedures. So it's a very interesting, comprehensive report that's printed from a 15-minute assessment that you take online.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about, just by examples, when you say D is kind of for problem solving, what does that spectrum look like?
Okay. Well, when someone takes the report, it will indicate what they are strongest in. So if someone is what we call a high D, or that's their preferred, I guess I want to tell you that DISC measures how you do something, and it's someone's preference in how they want to give and receive information. So this is all about communication. And what I've heard over the past 6 years in my work with the Regional Chamber of Commerce from employers, straight from employers, is that people today do not have good soft skills. And communication, you know, I think we can agree, is an essential soft skill to have. So being able to read people, DISC actually allows you to do that without them saying a word, being able to read them by their behavior. So someone who is what we call a high D, they're dominant, they're, you know, some of the descriptors for them is, you know, driving, aggressive, ambitious, direct. They like you to be very direct when you're in conversation with them. They want you to give them options. They want to, you know, get right to the point sort of thing. So,
and then what would be on the opposite end of the spectrum? So if you're not a high D, then what is your tendency?
Well, everyone has all behavioral tendencies at some degree. So if you were a low D, it would really be the opposite. You would be non-confrontational, a little more timid, you know, unaggressive.
Got it.
And people are mostly somewhere in the middle. So if that 50... There's what's called an energy line at the 50 mark, and it goes from 0 to 100. So at that halfway point, that would be the equivalent of the average height being 5'10". So okay. Someone who's around 5'10 is not going to stand out that much. Does that make sense?
That does.
Yet if someone's seven feet tall, they're really going to stand out. So they'd be maybe 95 or 100 in that scale. And if they're, you know, 4 feet tall, they're really going to stand out too.
Got it. Okay. And then quickly, I stands for influence. And that talks a lot about the personality of how outgoing and enthusiastic and lively they are, right?
That's right. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then you refer to...
32% of the population are high in the influencing, the I, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so if 32% are high in I, does that also mean an equal number, 32% is low, and then the last third's in the middle, or is it more skewed?
Nope, we're just talking about high. Okay. 19% are high Ds, 32% high Is, 35% high S's, and S is the steady, consistent pace. Someone who is a high S, they're dependable, they're loyal, they're steady, they're consistent, they're really great workers, actually. The worker bees, right?
Yeah.
And then C is 14% of the population, and they like to follow the rules. They're the type of people who, you know, cross their T's, dot their I's, make sure everything is in order. So this is a really kind of fun, easy way of looking at it. You know, if each of the DISCs had a mantra, D's mantra would be, let's just do it. They're go-getters, right? I's would be, let's have fun doing it. They like the experience and social. S's would be, let's do it together. They're inclusive. And C's would be, let's do it right.
Okay. So that's a great framework. And now let's talk about, how do you see that helping people in their day-to-day lives? First, let's talk about with people you know, either personally, socially, or at work. And then we can talk about how could we use this framework to help us be more effective with people we don't really know or just meeting for the first time. So with people we know, what do we need to be thinking about to improve our soft skills and communications to make us more effectively work with those people or just to have a relationship with them?
Okay, great. If a very high D is talking to a very high S, someone who likes a slower pace versus a very fast pace, will not be effective in communicating with them unless they mirror their preference, their communication style.
Okay, so I understand that. So you're saying if you know somebody's personality is kind of this very direct, results-oriented kind of way, there's no point in telling them a long story about something on why you should do plan A or plan B. You kind of have to just cut to the chase and get to the point, or you're going to lose their attention.
That's correct. And the opposite would be true with an S. If you move too quickly, you're also going to intimidate them.
And so, okay, that's with people you know, and that's a great example, and people could probably think about, okay, I understand roughly how my friends and coworkers I'm familiar with fit in this, but now let's turn around and say you're sent to a meeting with somebody you've never met before. What are some things you can do that can help you get a clue on what kind of behavioral profile this person's likely to have?
Observation is key. Body language is huge. The way someone dresses is very important, as a very important indicator. I tend to lay back a little bit in a meeting and be quiet until I get a sense of the people in the room and the players.
Sure, playing to that key observational thing you were talking about. You want
right.
to make sure you observe. Yeah.
Can see who's taking control of the conversation. They're the dominant personalities.
Yep.
Yeah. The person asking the what if questions, they would be, right, the compliant, sort of playing the devil's advocate, always wanting to make sure that we have all the facts and information before we make any decisions.
Right.
And then the I's and S's are the social creatures, so they would be the type that would be friendlier, maybe joke around a bit.
All right, so you're saying you walk into a room, you don't know these people, you're going to discuss some business issue or problem. You notice one person's like really chatty, asking how the weather is and the weekend and your family and where you're from. That probably gives you a high idea that they're much more likely to be a high I type person.
Yes, relationship builder.
And right. then the high D person is probably one that would say, hey, what's the agenda? Let's get going.
Correct. You know,
yeah.
Yes. They're all okay. about results. Yes.
Interesting. Okay. And now what's really interesting is you can learn a lot in just 15 minutes, you said, by filling out just kind of like your personal preferences on an online survey, and that'll get you going to figure out what your personal DISC profile would be like.
That's right. The survey actually helps you know yourself, and this is how I think we'll connect over to personal branding. When I wrote the book on Own Your Personal Brand, it talks about the 7 key abilities that I believe a professional needs in today's world, and it is just a collection of my wisdom and experience over decades, really. It's not new information, hopefully a little bit different way of arranging it that fits today. And the number one ability in my book is respectability. That's, you know, having a healthy sense of self. And although many of us have an intuition of, you know, what we're good at and what people like about us, et cetera, there is something really powerful about seeing it in writing and it being validated, you know, in a scientific way. So what DISC does, it helps you know yourself, because personal branding is how you tell your story to the world. So before anybody has the confidence to put themselves out there and tell their story, they want to feel really good about what they have to offer. So it helps you know yourself, control yourself when necessary, because we all have potential limitations. It helps you know and be able to read others once you learn the language. And the bottom line is, you know, we can use it for superior performance and for more effective communication. So for job seekers or folks in transition or employers needing to communicate more effectively with people in their organization, it is a really great tool.
Well, certainly there's been a bigger movement, especially with social media and things like that, that give you tools to improve your personal brand, but it does take effort. So how much time should somebody expect to sort of spend in either getting their personal brand going, if this is a new concept to them, or on improving and sustaining it if it's something they're already spending time doing?
That's a great question, Albert, and it's an ongoing process. I mean, as we think about, you know, product brands, large companies and whatever, you know, we can see where they have changed over the years to adapt to the times. And we have to do that as individuals too. As you say, we're in really unique times. Technology is so powerful. So people have to keep moving forward. And actually, one of the abilities in my book is sustainability. How do you stay in the game? You know, respectability is getting your head in the game. How do you stay in the game? And it's an ongoing process. So can I say that it'll take, you know, 6 months for someone? Not really. I think that it depends, as you said, on the effort that someone puts in. But to be able to set up your, you know, your online presence and have your assessments so that you have a good sense of, you know, how the world currently sees you and what adjustments you may want to make so that it's a little bit more positive.
Sure. And it's when you talk about respectability, what could somebody do today if this is a new concept to them right now after they take the DISC analysis to start going down that path to saying, this is what I want my personal brand to be about? And, you know, what's sort of the next step beyond getting to know themselves through a DISC analysis?
Sure. Asking yourself, what am I good at? What do I love to do? It doesn't feel like work. This is another thing. The DISC assessment will show your natural style, who Albert is when he is in his comfort zone, not thinking about his behavior at all. And it also shows your adapted style because, you know, sometimes we do have to change our style a bit in order to be most successful at what we do. When your natural style and adapted style is extremely different, it causes you a lot of stress because it means that you're out of your comfort zone a great deal of time, and that's stressful for most people. So asking yourself questions like, what am I really good at? What do people say I'm good at? What makes me feel really good? What would I do if I didn't have to earn money at it, what would I just do for free for the love of it? You know, kind of things sure. like that.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And like you said, a lot of this is just wisdom of prioritizing all the different things you could focus on and think about to find the, and in your case, the 7 abilities that really make a difference in making a great personal brand. Give us another one of the 7 that you think is particularly interesting that you've come to really appreciate over time.
Well, this started with a simple dress for success presentation, and I called it dressability at the time. It was just like, how do I update modern dress standards? Because people seem to be very confused. So dressability is in the number 2 slot. Once you feel good about yourself and want to put yourself out there, first impression is huge. And, you know, how the world sees you based on how you're dressed is still very important, even though it may differ from East Coast to West Coast, industry to industry, things like that. Today's professional really needs to know what's appropriate in different situations.
All right, so this is interesting. So let's suppose you're in one of these much smaller groups like high C. You said only 14% of the population is high C. Right. And if you are high C, then you are probably likely to dress very conservatively. But now let's say you're aware of it and you're saying, you know, the way I would normally dress is probably not going to be that appealing. And I think now you run into this debate over, well, what's your true self? Should you just continue to dress very, very conservatively? Or is that actually maybe hurting you in career advancement and you should consider dressing more like, let's say, a high S or a high I, which represents almost twice as many or more people in the general population?
I, I totally agree. I think that you have to look at it situationally. It used to be don't dress for where you are, dress for where you want to be. And I think that's still important. However, you also have to factor in dress for who you're going to be with, because it's a comfort thing. You're trying to make the person that you're meeting with or talking with comfortable.
And I guess that's
so. So if you're looking all stiff and buttoned up, and everyone else is dressed more relaxed, I would think that, you know, you would feel out of place and essentially be uncomfortable yourself.
Yeah. And when you say that, when we started this segment, and you talked about so many companies saying people lack the soft skills, would you say just these passive things like dress fits right into that? And then what other aspects would you say anyone should start paying attention to more so that they can improve their soft skills?
Okay, great. Yes, dressing for success is a huge problem, not only in our area here, but it's national. And when we went down the path of business casual, it was never meant to be, you know, look like you've just jumped out of bed type of dress, right? And sure. especially.
But some people may have truly just jumped out of bed.
Exactly. Some may have. And if that is the message, it's all about messages that you want to be sending to the world. If that's the message that you want to be sending to the world, that you, you know, don't care enough to put any time or effort into your appearance, you know, so be it. But it's probably not going to win you the success that you're looking for,
right,
earn you the success that you're looking for. So.
And any other trends or tidbits that you can glean from what you're seeing from all the many different employers while working with the Buffalo Niagara Partnership?
We talk a lot about the skills gap, and I think that this is appropriate for careers.org. There are many people, again, regionally and nationally, unemployed, and there are also many, many open positions. So what is the problem that we're not getting the right people trained to be able to support the employers? That's a huge problem.
Yes, and I think that's certainly a much more difficult problem to address, because there's so many aspects. But luckily, you are definitely helping in one aspect, in just sort of getting to know yourself through this DISC analysis, and then, of course, looking at how to improve your personal brand to get that message out. I think these are all great, helpful things that hopefully people who listen can adopt some or all of it. And if they want to find out more, they can go to the resources page and they can contact you directly. They can see how to access your book, and they can see how to get background information on the DISC profiling and behavioral styles and that kind of tool.
So many times when I meet with someone in a business environment, they want to have their significant other profiled. And that's, isn't that interesting that the person that they probably know best in the whole world, they feel like they don't really know, and they'd like to see it validated.
Well, that might be a very fun game, although it could also be very dangerous to have one person predict what they think the DISC profile is and then have the other person take the test to see if it matches.
And they do that. a gentleman that I worked with a couple of weeks ago, when we were doing the debrief, and we didn't even really get a chance to talk about the debrief, because that's when I have the opportunity to go into detail about your profile and actually help you understand how to apply the information. To me, that's the most important part of the process. But anyway, when we were going through the different DISC, he said, "Oh, my wife is a D. She's for sure a D, you know?" And so we did have her take the assessment, and she was very low D. It was funny.
Wow. Well, and that probably caused for a little awkward dinner conversation that evening. Like, why did you think that? But Anyway, the bottom line is you can get started easily, just a few minutes of time invested. You can get some basic information, and then if you really want to delve in, I'm sure they can contact you or another expert to really see how they can make use of this kind of tool, not just for themselves, but on how to use it to evaluate the people they interact with every day. Sounds like it's a great, useful framework for people to think about, and they probably should, especially in this age where people interact with more people than ever before.
And online and in person, right?
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. That was interesting because, of course, I did do a DISC profile with you, and now I pay more attention to just emails and other electronic correspondence with people I may have never even met, but I pay more attention to things like, are they likely to be a high C because they never have a typo, they have tons of little details in the email, and it tells me. And like you said, tone of a high D and a high I, they write different emails.
You're right. I love it. I actually have a cheat sheet for people I work with on email, you know, email.
Yeah, just the content, right? Just like how they write and it's little things like how well, you know, how is it organized? And, you know, I only regret that, you know, sometimes you don't get enough information like on a tweet. You just can't figure it out much. But nonetheless, for emails and people that you're in a dialogue with, it turns out to be a fascinating tool and it's very useful. And I think that's great. And,
that's right.
You know, it's something that I've integrated
into my work. You can tell the relationship builders. They would say, you know, how was your weekend? Or if it's a Friday, happy Friday, right? D's tend to write more in bullets. And if you want to get the attention of a D, have it be short, sweet, to the point. Yes, very powerful email tips. Yes.
Yeah. Well, that is great. And hopefully everyone that's listened to this gets some benefit and has gleaned some important insights and some fun things that they can think about to improve their own lives and career. And Molly, I thank you very much for spending time with us. And I hope you have more fun and ongoing success at Buffalo Niagara Partnership and wherever else you may go.
Thank you very much, Albert. It's been a pleasure.
When you want to access resources to improve your work life, check out the vast options we offer at careers.org.